SharePoint Podcast, episode 356, November 21st, 2016. Hi everyone, this is a special edition of the SharePoint Podcast in English this week. As I've been on the European SharePoint Conference last week in Vienna, and was always a great conference. The European SharePoint Conference is always well organized, and I met so many interesting people, attendees, and 3 days of talking about SharePoint, Office 365, and I had a session on Office 365 and the Internet of Things. More than 100 people attended the session, and everything's went well. You can look at the session because I have streamed it live with a Mevo cam, and the recording is online now and on our YouTube channel. So have a look at the show notes, and there you will find the link. Yeah, and a conference is always a good place to record interviews for the podcast. This year I got two interviews. Not because I'm lazy, but I did several video interviews together with Harmony, asking experts. These videos will be available, I think, in the first half of December. So in one of the next episodes, I will tell you when the links are online. And so for this little podcast here, we had two experts that I was able to interview. And in this episode, we will have a very long friend of this podcast. And if I say it's Fitz, then you might know whom I'm talking about. It's Mike Fitzmaurice, one of the SharePoint legends. And yes, it's always great to talk to Mike. And so hope you enjoy it. And here is the interview from the ESPC 2016.
Mike Fitzmaurice, Vice President of Workflow Technology for Nintex.
I'm not sure. I think this is the fifth time you're on my podcast.
Yeah,
you're
something like that.
A regular guest over the years.
You have been kind enough to have me on more than once.
Yeah, of course. The living legends. Legends never die.
Oh, please. It's nice of you to say.
We're here on the European SharePoint Conference.
Yes.
And looking a little bit back in 2016, Microsoft has completely changed over the year, I think, with all the stuff they're providing Office 365. What's your opinion about it as an intimate knowing
about 365?
I think 365 about the micro ecosystem.
Yeah. 365 is the new normal, and it's normal for good. You're either going to use 365 for everything, or you're going to use it for specialized services. But you're going to use it. Look, you can keep all of your SharePoint assets on premises, but you're probably going to use Skype for Business in the cloud. Well, you'll definitely use Exchange in the cloud. That's almost, you'd be almost crazy to run Exchange on premises. Obviously, certain sovereignty and security rules are different, but you're based out of Germany, German data center. Microsoft is changing to accommodate Germany, and rightly so. Delve, your only option is to use that in the cloud. More and more things, Power Apps, Flow, virtually everything. You're going to use Office 365. It's just a question of how much.
Do you know when I realized that Office 365 is now the new normal for Microsoft? At the Microsoft Partner Conference here in Germany in October, Microsoft hadn't a booth for Office 365 there. There was just a coffee area with labeled Office 365.
Yeah.
But no dedicated booth there for Office 365. It's just there, and so
Microsoft uses it. At this point, you know it. You know what it is. Yeah. They don't need to convince you or teach you what it is. It's just a question of...
But especially in Germany, maybe it might be normal for Microsoft, but is it normal for the customers right now, especially in Germany? I think you have some insight because
there, Nintex. There is a curve,
yeah.
But I actually think German customers, at least the German customers I talk to, they certainly know it. Mm-hmm. Not everyone wants it, but you know it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that many people need to be taught what Office 365 is anymore. It's normal. It may be normal and not desirable, but it's absolutely normal.
And next year it will be available from the German cloud,
yeah.
So with all the better security and
yes.
Whatever. You're working with Nintex. Will be Nintex services provided from the German cloud?
I don't know the exact timeline, but yes, we... It's not a question of whether, it's a question of when. Yes, we will be in the German cloud.
Do you think...
We want German customers, so we have to do it.
That I want to ask. Is it essential for the German market?
For cloud-related things, absolutely, yeah. Either that or we need to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that we hold zero German data. And in general, we never hang on to anyone's data. It doesn't matter where they are. But, I mean, data will move through our cloud assets, and that's enough to have someone want us to be in their data center, or in their locale. So, yeah. No. We already have Nintex Workflow and Nintex Forms for Office 365 in multiple data centers. One of them's European. It's not in the German one, but... I have no doubt in my mind that will come, and it will come relatively soon. But I'm not privy to the actual date.
Let's get back to SharePoint. When we started with SharePoint, I think you started with 2001, 2003? 2003.
I actually started... Well, okay. On the 2001 product, I worked on it before it had its final name.
Tahoe.
It was still being called Tahoe when I started on it.
So with 2003, we tried to put users in fences, so they get this classic internet team size, whatever. Mm-hmm. And when we now look on the platform, we have groups, Yammer, team sites, Delph, teams, whatever.
Yeah, and there's more than one way to do them. Yes.
How? Mm-hmm. Do you think that the concept of let the users choose what they want is the right concept, or is it more disturbing for the customer?
I think it's more disturbing. I mean, you're giving me an either-or question, and obviously the real answer is more nuanced than that. But yeah, the quick answer is yes, I think they're confusing customers. I don't want them to stop innovating, though. So, like, for example, let's talk about Teams. I like it. But there's also Yammer, there's also groups, or group discussions, and there's also discussion lists in SharePoint. Normalize that stuff, make it all work together like one service. And they are doing that. Yeah. They just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, because we are... now the products are released in the development cycle.
So yes, exactly.
I still remember those good old days where you get a beta version, had 3 months of time just to get familiar with all the features, and then it would be released. Today you open up your maybe your emails account and say, hey, we have released a new tool that's called Teams. Hey, it's there. So and then you go onto the site with Teams, and within 2 hours, you're familiar with this tool.
Yeah,
it's quite
but,
a different situation.
I know, but the kids love it. You know, you and I, we're old men. Well, at least I am. You're not that
old. We shouldn't compete on that.
Yes. Well, okay. But the point is, actually, even I like it. I do like the fact that if something is wrong, it gets fixed quickly.
Yeah.
However, yes, it makes our lives more interesting. Now, living in interesting times is a Chinese curse, not a blessing. But I'd rather have this than someone say, I feel your pain and do nothing about it for 3 years.
I think this is a point I really learned here on the conference, because I talked to several people here, that in the former times, we have to wait 3 years until a big mistake in the platform has been fixed. Now it could be within 3 months that the problem has been fixed, because you have the user voice feedback on Microsoft, and they're looking at it, and they're trying to fix the most popular thing.
You bring up user voice. I actually find that very, very interesting, because to me the surprising thing is not so much the fact that they're doing Teams and Yammer and everything else, and it's not that they're moving to 3 month cycles. The fact that they used user voice impresses. User voice is not a Microsoft product.
No.
User voice is a third party service. We use user voice within Nintex products. But the fact that Microsoft actually bothered to use someone else's service for that, as opposed to just having to reinvent the wheel. Yeah. I am impressed.
I think the same with the new tech community, which is this successor of the falling up of the old Yammer IT Pro network. Mm-hmm. It's based on a software that's launched by Microsoft. It's a third-party software.
And the fact that CodePlex is, CodePlex it's not completely gone, but GitHub is where all the action is.
Yeah,
that's not a Microsoft thing either, but Microsoft contributes to it.
Yeah. So let's look a little bit ahead, 2017.
Okay.
Hopefully the United States will still be there and still be there. No, we don't get into, I don't want to trump you right now, sorry.
No. Oh, okay.
But how do you
Well, remember, I'm Canadian, so yes, this is important.
Okay, yeah, I think I know that your the website of your Canadian immigration breakdown on the election day.
It got crashed that night, but yes.
Okay, interesting times, but let's go back to
yes,
the technical
stuff. 2017, what will be going on, do I think?
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, it's just next year, so I think actually the writing's on. We'll see more of the same stuff. In fact, here's what I hope for 2017. A lot of the stuff that's not especially stable will become stable. I don't think power apps are the most stable thing in the world right now.
No.
Especially if you want to connect them to multiple data sources. It just, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that'll improve. Power apps being viewed in web pages. I'd like to see that improve.
The whole flow story, I think, will be improved much more.
And I'd like the whole flow story to be a whole lot clearer. Yeah. We get asked about the difference between Nintex and Flow. And
I can think that, yeah.
If you talk to somebody from Flow and you talk to somebody from Nintex, we'll both give you more or less the same answer, and it will be that they're meant for very different things, and you're going to use both of us.
Yeah.
The details are the details. But the point is, I would like more people to understand Flow better so that we can, again, go back to getting work done instead of thinking that it introduces uncertainty. It does not. Maybe we'll see some rationalization between Yammer and Teams. Maybe we'll see some rationalization. I learned, actually I've known about the project for a while, but we finally had a little bit of news spill out about it, about there's a new list management facility coming to Office 365 with a mobile experience, which is interesting, except Microsoft already bought Wunderlist.
Yeah, of course. In Berlin, I've been there. So
yeah.
Nice group of
people. It is a nice group of people, and it's a nice product. Yeah. Microsoft bought it, and yet they're introducing something that kind of competes with themselves. And I'm thinking, guys, WTF. Yeah.
But same with Yammer. They bought Yammer, and I think the best thing from Yammer is that Microsoft learned how to program and develop Agile in a quite different
true.
Way.
It taught them things.
But
that's
the
very
product
true.
Itself, I think, was what I've learned. It was a really startup product. So it took different SDKs and whatever it's there.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that at all, but I would say that I don't think that's true of Wunderlist. I think they're very bright people and they're doing good work.
Wasn't against Wunderlist.
Oh, no, I didn't.
On the Gemma people, because on the Gemma, what I've learned, why Gemma is so doing slowly in the Microsoft platform, because Microsoft has to rewrite the whole Yammer stack, because it has to be compliant to the Office 365 compliance directive.
So, yes.
And this is a problem if you buy a good idea from a startup, which also has customers, but they have developed on complete different hardware tools and software set. And so,
well, I'm hoping that there's not a long-term conflict and that they use the best of Wunderlist and the best of this new effort and normalize that soon, because I do think, unlike Yammer, Wunderlist is not that huge a team, and they have a very well-defined product. So,
I've been there.
I want that to make sense.
Yeah, I think 3 months before after Microsoft acquired them, they had a special meeting in Berlin with a smaller group, and I've been there. And they had a 30-minute presentation from the Yammer team. And I haven't seen for years people so passionate about the product.
Oh, good.
So it was really, you really feel the energy and so, well, there's a bucket, oh, this keep me up and I have to fix it. And so it was very interesting to see how this spirit of a startup can go into maybe in such a bigger company like Microsoft, and with the strength of such a Nadella, it might be good. Do you think we see new technologies like HoloLens and whatever? Do you think that will be the new way we will work?
No, I don't. I think HoloLens is cool. Or I think, no, HoloLens is not cool. HoloLens is fun.
Okay.
Big difference. But I still, I view it as a novelty. Now, I'm speaking for me, not speaking for Nintex. I'm not even sure I'm speaking for the community as a whole. But I think that until you can put on a HoloLens and not look like a complete dork, not everybody's going to embrace doing that. Yeah, it's augmented reality, but it still requires, it still wants a whole lot from both developers and from infrastructure people to make it work. It's not automatic. It's not ubiquitous. However, yes, I believe the train has left the station and all of that is happening. I just can't imagine it happening within a year's time. I think lots of people are going to experiment with it. Lots of people are going to go, ooh, fun. Yeah. but I don't see it becoming mainstream. Not within a year. Could be wrong, but...
Yeah. You're in the business for a long time, decades, like me. And I think it's much more... complicated to predict what may be standard in 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows, yeah. Really.
And actually, one of the reasons it gets harder and harder to do this is the last couple of standards that have really made a difference, they weren't imposed. They bubbled up organically. Like XML, as much as there were a lot of people that worked to make XML a reality, I'd still say lots of committees got together and eventually imposed XML on the rest of us. I'm glad they did. But JSON? Oh, no, that bubbled up from the developer community and then got ratified as a standard. OData? Same thing. REST? Pretty much was an organic thing. Swagger. Hmm. Actually, what is the new term for Swagger? Open API without a space.
Yeah.
Which is awkward because there is Open Space API, which means something completely different. So most people still call it Swagger, but the self-describing stuff for RESTful web services, some people call it WSDL for REST. That's probably one of the newest things. I think it's fantastic. We are investing hugely in Swagger, and
Next new one is around the corner,
and we won't see it come. Well, we'll see it coming because a bunch of people will be using it, and then we'll all decide, yeah, we should all use it.
Yeah,
but that also means we have no idea which group of people will be doing that clever thing.
Okay, so it's good always to have you on the podcast because
it's always
you
good
have
to be had.
A clear view on the future and the past, and
thank you.
Always great to talk to you.
Likewise.
Mike, thank you very much.
My pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Links and show notes at sharepointpodcast.de.